How's everybody doing this morning?
I remember it was about a year ago that I think it was either David Hill or Chief reached out to me and they said, "Do you believe in free speech?" And I said, "Absolutely, I believe in free speech." They said, "Well, do you want to give one?" And I said, "So here I am." thank you for the great care that you are doing for me, and what a great dinner last night. I'm still full, and I took an antihistamine late last night. I woke up, I couldn't breathe. Now I can't spit, so I feel like I smoked crack. I mean, I'm like I'm a little jittery. So, you know, when I got released, you know, I Am Second, they did a great job, and we were talking at dinner last night of all the appearances that I've been on, you know, 700 Club, you know, I Am Second, major news broadcast across the country and speaking across the country and podcast. And as a matter of fact, when I got released, somebody reached out to me immediately, and I only been out for like maybe 3 months, and it was a big No More Heroin convention up in Ohio. They said, "We'd like for you to come speak." And I was talking to Judge Bennett, and to this day, we're very close friends. As a matter of fact, I talked to her yesterday, and I said, she always cracks up. I said, "Hey, the chief of police is picking me up at the airport. Can you believe this stuff?" So I was talking about that, and so what was I saying? I got sidetracked. The heroin convention. Thank you. The No More Heroin convention. Thank you. The No More Heroin convention, and I went to the chief, and I mean to Judge Bennett, and I said, you know, I can't go to this. I mean, I don't have an ID. I mean, I had nothing. You know, I didn't have anything, and so she said, "Well, you should go." And she signed a travel voucher, and my ID was just printed off one of my mug shots. And I just went in there, and they let me through. So it was. She's my professional photographer. So, but I'm really excited about today because my mission today is to help men. And when they asked me to talk about Peter, and you know, I can relate to all the men in the Bible. I mean, all the men in the Bible were tarred and feathered, and they were just gangsters, you know, that God used and Christ used to transform them so people could see the transformation, that we can change lives without even saying the name Christ. It's by our presentation and the way that we handle ourselves. And then to open up this book, and by the way, this book is great. I get sent a lot of books, and I have a hard time trying to read them all. But as I opened this up in chapter 9, I started reading it, and it says here, lost my spot. Bear with me here. Chapter 9. As I opened it up, I was reading it, and I get to page 138, and I circled this because it says, "For some of us, disciple-making is our main ministry. But as you can see, it is every Christian's mission and duty starting at home. Failure to discipline at home leads to failure everywhere." And I circled it. And I'm like, that's it. You know, when I was incarcerated and growing up, you know, I had a mother and a father. It was very confusing behind closed doors. I grew up in a well-to-do family. My dad was a workaholic. He was never around. But I saw the way he treated my mom. I mean, he provided. He told me to start a company at the age of 9. I'm like, what? So I was taught to work. But I had no biblical upbringing. So I was growing up in the country club, and all the men in the bar were teaching me how to be a man, you know, to gamble, to drink, talk about other women, infidelity, work, 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 you know, deal junkies. And that's all I knew. Little did I know that they were actually teaching me to die. And so when I was born again and had this spiritual awakening, I noticed that I started looking at life through God's perspective and not mine. And when there is detours placed in my life and things that are painful, uncomfortable, like it says in James, you know, consider it pure joy. You know, the Bible says that when we're in pain and bad things are happening, we worship. What?
Worship?
Yeah, we worship because it's exciting to see what God has in store for us and how we can look at this opportunity through His perspective so we can be of service to others, right? And as I look around the room today and they're playing that, I'm sitting back here and all you men that are sitting here, you're all Peters, okay? Everyone in here is a Peter. Who gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning and goes to a men's Bible study and talks about God, right? We want to sleep late or get up and start hitting the world running, okay? There's a lot of people out there that wake up in the morning and all they're thinking about is themselves, including me. The great thing is today as a believer in Christ, in recovery, with good men around me. I actually have one man in my life who is my mentor, who is the first man I've ever opened up to in my life and simply said, hey, I'm in fear. I'm in fear that I sent a text to someone, they haven't responded back to me, and I'm in paranoia because I think they hate me and they're talking about me and marching the streets saying all these bad things about me. And he would say, Michael, do you think you just might be an alcoholic? You know, and what that means is we start building up stories in our head, you know, that aren't true. So I want to address something about Peter. You know, Peter had this spiritual awakening when, you know, Jesus shows up, this freak of nature shows up and tells him, you know, to go out in the sea during the day and cast his net out and he'll catch fish. And he's like, hey, Jesus, let me tell you something. You stick to your ministry or whatever you're doing. My brother told me about you, but you just keep doing what you're doing. Stay in your lane. You don't know who you're talking to. I'm the Michael Jordan of fishing. Ain't nobody can fish like me. And he said, they ain't biting. They don't bite during the day. We go at night. He said, just trust me, go do it. So he did to prove him wrong. I'll show you, you freak. And he goes out there and it sunk the boat. And he was blown away. And that's when he hit his knees and had his awakening that this is the Son of God, the Messiah. I had that awakening in prison. You know, I took that risk and said these words. I don't know why I'm doing the things I'm doing, and I'm willing to go to any length to change. And it couldn't be my way. Because left to my own devices, I will fail. Okay? I always invite God to speak through me, to be a vessel, to help others, especially men. To help others, because if I script it and write it up, I brought this paper up since we're videoing it because my team says, you know, you get an outline, template, and all that stuff. So I brought it up as they see it. I just go, you know, bar spitter, hard hitter. So when he had this awakening was when I caught the fish. And then he said, go be fishers of men. Everything that I'm doing today wasn't planned. I wasn't incarcerated putting this plan together saying, you know, I'm going to be a motivational speaker and all. I didn't know what I was going to do. I wasn't released as a result of a paperwork error. That's what they say. I was released because of God. Because of God, of this spiritual awakening. He miraculously opened the gates, first time in the state of Texas history, and set me free from prison. And made that trip, you know, back to Judge Bennett. And she said, go pay it forward. I didn't know how to do that. Get a phone call from a guy who was looking for me and well-known business talk show in Dallas and wanted to interview me. And I got released on Friday, with a long walk, and then got the following Friday after Judge Bennett set me free. I went to the Salvation Army and was sleeping on concrete floor for 2 days and went and saw my dad. And he says, this guy keeps calling with the same name, looking for you. I'm like, uh-oh. So I call him and they go, we want to interview you because we want to know where Michael Moulton. They want to talk about real estate, you know, the market and business. And they wanted to know, where have you been? You know, this well-known home builder like just disappeared. And so I told him this entire story that you just heard and what I just told you. And he just goes, and he's a believer now. He works for right-wing advertise or media for Donald Trump. He's, you know, Trump's media guy. And so he's like, man, this is amazing. Praise God. I mean, what year was this? I'm on my dad's cell phone in Salvation Army clothes and flip-flops on the driveway because my dad's not, I didn't want him to, you know, hear what I was talking about because I didn't know who I was calling. And he says, what year is this? I said, Brian, this is Friday. So the media got a hold of it, and then it went off. iHeartRadio invited me to come in, and I started doing drive home traffic, talking about recovery, and so here we are. You know, I didn't want to do this. Never dreamed about doing this, and a lot of days I don't want to do it because of spiritual warfare. Because when the rooster crows three times, I deny Christ. Right? We all do that. You know, we can say God, that's easy. But do we say Christ? Right? You know, Christ never said God until he was on the cross. Called him Father. That's when we get deep. Lord, Father. Our culture today is crazy. The world is crazy. I mean, it's crazy right now. But here's a great thing. I'm excited. You know why? God's up to something. God's up to something. And I cannot wait to see what he does. And us as men in this crisis, we handle it like kingdom men. Kingdom men. We got this. So as we're talking about Peter, and Peter, you know, denies Christ, and it talks about the man and the family, I want to back up a little bit and start over. And talk about what does it mean to be a man? There's a lot of males, but what's it mean to be a man? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. I can't believe I say this stuff. I never thought I'd say it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, 8 through 12. I used to hear, I mean, it still catches me. Yeah. Now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me. The woman whom you gave to be with me." No one better say amen in here, okay? "She gave me some of the fruit of the tree and I ate." I go back to the book that we're reading, and it talks about 48% of women are choosing cohabitation over marriage. 41% of babies are born to single mothers. 36% of children live in homes without their biological fathers. 18% of pregnancies are terminated by abortion. Church member attendance has dropped 17.7% overall, 13.3% among men. Drug addiction is at an all-time high. Drug overdose is at an all-time high. Alcoholism is at an all-time high. Why did I read this verse? Because what God is saying, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Women, 48% of women choosing cohabitation of marriage. They're crying out, Adam, where are you? 41% of babies are born with single mothers. They're crying out, Adam, where are you? Now, what this topic here, you know, it might frustrate women. It might be ecstatic women. But I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to be transparent. I'm here to be biblical. God created Adam first, then Eve. The whole chapter 2 describes God and Adam, no Eve. And what Adam was doing was being trained and molded by God, and he had a relationship with one person, his father, God. And then he provided him a helper. The reason why spiritual warfare is so powerful against men is because God created Adam first. It's not about control. It's not about leader, all this stuff. It's about priority. And what does that mean? We are responsible. When Eve ate from the garden, God said, Adam, where are you? He addressed Adam, never addressed Eve. He addressed Adam. Why? Because he was responsible for generation and generation and generation and generation. Now, a lot of people in here, you know, may not grow up with a biblical education, foundation, father figure in their life, and I get that. I can totally relate to that. But it's our responsibility to change. Because that's what I did when I was incarcerated. I took that responsibility and I changed. And what I did is that now I look at God through everything from God's perspective. I share the stories of all the things that were done to me that were wrong. I share the hope of, like, I see it through God's perspective and I know why. I know why and accept it and I love it and I worship it and I'm grateful for it. And I'll touch on that a little bit with true stories. Yeah. So when God created Adam, and so that's where we start, because it's time to start becoming men again. You know, I wrote this, and I'll read this to you, and it's called Messed Up Man. And with all the chaos in the world and all the politics and the government and Israel and the war and 9/11, I mean, everything that we're seeing today on the news is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And let me tell you why. Because they're saying, Adam, where are you? God doesn't ride the back of donkeys or elephants. It's one nation under God. We've taken godly principles out of the White House as a result of the church house. Because that's where it starts. So I'll read this to you. If you're a messed up man and you have a family, then you are going to help make a messed up family. If you are a messed up man contributing to a messed up family and your messed up family goes to church, then your messed up family is going to make its contribution to a messed up church. If you are a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church and your church is supposed to be the light of the neighborhood, then your messed up church is going to make its contribution to a messed up neighborhood. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church causing a messed up neighborhood and your neighborhood is part of the city, well then, your messed up neighborhood is going to make its contribution to a messed up city. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church causing a messed up neighborhood that resides in a messed up city and your city is part of the county, then your messed up city is going to make its contribution to your messed up county. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church causing a messed up neighborhood that resides in a messed up city that is part of the messed up county and your county is part of the state, well then, your messed up county will make its contribution to a messed up state. Here we go. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church causing a messed up neighborhood that resides in a messed up city that is part of a messed up county and that is contributing to a messed up state, then your state is part of the country. Well now, your messed up state is going to make its contribution to a messed up nation. Hang in there with me. If you're a messed up man contributing to a messed up family resulting in a messed up church causing a messed up neighborhood that resides in a messed up city that is part of a messed up county that's contributing to a messed up state that contributes to a messed up country, now your country is part of the world. Well, now your messed up country is going to make its contribution to a messed up world. So, if you want a better world composed of better countries inhabited by better states because they are better made of better counties composed by better cities inhabited by better neighborhoods illuminated by better churches that are made by better families, we got to start becoming better men because it all rests on the position of the man. That's it. It's time to call males back to being men as God defines a man, not the culture. We're all addicts. That's our tour when I speak. We're all addicts. There's a stigma on drug addiction, alcoholism. We are all addicts. What is addiction? Addiction is the street name for spiritual stronghold. False idols. That's what it is. I'll break it down. Addiction is a person, place, thing, here's a scary one, or a thought that has become my source. That's addiction. As a believer, as a man, not a male, is we recognize it. Because of men, we start seeking visible things to try to fix our invisible problems. We compare. Comparison is the death of contentment, which leads to depression, which leads to chasing visible things, which is denying Christ. Just like Peter did. I had a lot of people, you know, say, you need to write a book. You know, I had a guy introduce me up on stage and one time and he said, you know, this is the real life Forrest Gump. That I Am Second film they did was just a little snapshot of my story. I'm not unique, you know, I'm no different than any other man. You know, I kept doing the same thing over and over. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Okay, ready, men? That's not the definition. That's not it. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over, knowing what the result's going to be. Right? That's insanity, which is lack of faith. So how do we handle ourselves as men? How do we handle ourselves as Christian men witnessing and bringing other men to Christ? You ready? Action. Faith is measured by feet, not lips. That's what faith is. I remember when I was on the pro golf tour, say Forrest Gump story, I was on the pro golf tour for 5 years and I was caddying for one of the best golfers in the world. And I'll never forget being on the range and we got some old schools in here, so I remember this. You know, Larry Mize, Bernhard Langer, Larry Nelson. There's some different guys, but when they come on the range and hit balls, and I'm caddying for one of the best, and they're on the range, I can just feel something different in them. They just, the way they carried themselves, I see it now, it was the Spirit. It was the Spirit. And I wanted what they had. And that's the way we carry ourselves. You know, I'm not this guy that, you know, I sit down and I say, you know, hey, but before we talk, I'm a man of God. I serve Jesus Christ and I'm a Christian. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't ask. It'd be like me saying, I'm a man. I have tattoos and a blue shirt on. Okay, we can talk now. And you go like, why do you even have to announce that? I want them to see and feel it. God told me that when I was walking. He said, bro, don't put my name in your mouth. Just go show the world who I am. Just go show the world who I am. I deal with a lot of people, a lot of men and women in addiction that they don't want to talk about God. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to hear it. I said, that's okay. Let's just not drink or do drugs for the next 15 minutes. Can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. I said, okay. And they don't do it in 15 minutes. And I said, there's something out there bigger than you that made that happen. And they go, okay. So it's planting these seeds. They said, you should write a book, you know, and all this stuff. And I always felt weird about that. And I want to. But I'm protective of my parents and what happened behind closed doors and my grandfather. And because I didn't want to hurt anybody. And I don't want my story to be about revenge and, you know, all this stuff. And we're going to start a march for child molesters and, you know, physical abuse, verbal abuse, all this stuff. I've been just holding off to make it clear, you know, bright and clear of what God wants it to be. And so I was driving to a speaking engagement, and it was at a treatment center, and it was this high-dollar treatment center, and I drive up there and I get there, and as I'm driving, I'm like just tired and kind of into self, and I didn't know what I was going to talk about. And so I get there and I go into the men's bathroom when I get there. And a lot of times I hang out in the men's bathroom when I speak. I'm actually a very quiet person, private person when I'm not speaking. It surprises people. I'm like a cat. Because that's the way I grew up. Never had a best friend, never had close, had a lot of people around me, but never got close with anybody because I just couldn't trust anybody. So I go in to speak and I walk into the bathroom, and in the bathroom, there's two wall urinals and there's a stall. There's a guy in a wall urinal, there's an open wall urinal, and there's the stall, and the guy was just finishing there, and I waited for him to finish to go in there so I could shut the door to go to the bathroom. This is a symptom of sexual abuse because I have a hard time being in that situation. I never did slumber parties, I can't shower, definitely can't get a massage from a man. That just creeps me out. I can't do any of this stuff, right? It's a symptom of it. And I realized that when I walked out, because the solution to what I do is to be transparent and honest. I have no secrets. You can Google, you can Google my four step. I mean, it's like, it's out there, which is our moral inventory. So I go out there and to speak, and it was about the size of this, and they had this big whiteboard. And I literally get out the pen and I draw the restroom, the bathroom I was in detail. And I share this story that I just shared with y'all. And three men, tears coming down their eyes. And one of the men came up and hugged me. And he says, "What you shared, so simple, I struggle with too." And he was molested by a family member. As I was driving home, processing this, I'm like, wow. God used my grandfather to speak through me, to share this story, to help other men. As a result of Matthew 6, 14, 15, when you forgive those who sinned against you, 15, God will bless your game. And the reason why is because resentment is the number one offender that's killing the entire human race. That's it. And that's what's happening is there's anger and resentment, because God's not going to bless my game if I'm holding on to a resentment. Because I'll just stuff the resentment down, take his blessing. When the sugar wears off, I'll bring the resentment back up. It's a luxury I don't have. And as a result of that, and doing Matthew 6, 14, 15, he blessed my game. 3 months later, 3 months, no, 3 weeks, no, 3 months later, I'm getting thousands of emails. Now, I'm talking thousands, even to this day. Thousands. I'm getting messages on our social media platforms, thousands, from inmates all across the country. Every jail and every prison. I'm like, what is going on? They're saying, "Man, we listen to your podcast. You're really helping me, and you're helping the entire tank. We all gather around and listen to it." I'm like, what is going on? Then I get an email from the assistant to the head guy at Securus Communication. Securus Communication is government communication for the White House, FBI, prisons. You know, they monitor the communications. His son was the guy that was crying that held me, and he told his dad this story. And his dad put M to the Rock on every single tablet in every prison and every jail in the entire country as a result of that. So we don't know what we're dealing with up there. We don't know what we're dealing with up there. God created man first. It's time for men to take back the dinner table. Peter denied Christ. You know, Peter, Simon, it was his name, which is Pebble. Jesus promoted him to Peter for rock. He promoted him, gave him a promotion. Peter was the man, great leader. Why did Christ have 12 disciples? And why were they all men? Because God created Adam first, because it's the man to be held responsible. That's why we name our stuff. That's why your wife and kids' name has your last name. You own it. Even if it's not your fault. even if it's not your fault. And I think it's Jeremiah. In my house, this is how we roll. But if you're a man not seeking God, trying to lead your wife and family, your family becomes rebels because they're following a rebel. But when we seek Christ, and I'm a vessel and delivering, then the family is united and everything shuts down. We don't have any problems anymore. I'll end with this. And man, I want you to hear this. Never, ever underestimate your role as a father. Don't ever underestimate that, or a grandfather. Remember, dads, that your children's view of God will largely be dependent on their view of you. Iron Man of God, I'm going to pray for you. I'm so happy to be here to speak to men about how to be a man. And it's time for men to return, just like Peter did. He went fishing after he denied Christ. Then he returned and started the church on the day of Pentecost. Right? Pentecost? Yeah, on the day of Pentecost. God doesn't play. God has a mission for you. He has a purpose for you. If you are breathing oxygen right now and in this room, He has a destiny for you. So consider it pure joy when there's crazy stuff happening. Because all God's doing is shaking things up. And God will do this. He will tap on Satan's shoulder and He'll say, "Remember who made you. I'm Tank Boss, not you." And He has to give permission to allow things to happen. Here's my prayer. And I'll end with this, what I always pray about. Heavenly Father, and You are our Father, we love You. There are men in here that might be lost, might be coming back, and I pray that You bring them back. Heavenly Father, just for today, You already know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen in our life today. And I pray that we accept it and we see it through Your eyes and not ours, so we can use it to help others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Orlando.